Joshua chapter number 2, we'll begin at verse number 1. Joshua chapter number 2, beginning there at verse number 1. When you find yourself there, let's be standing as we read the holy, inerrant, and infallible word of the Lord. Joshua chapter number 2, starting at verse number 1. I do want to make a quick remark to see so many individuals under the tent tonight. That's a blessing from God. Good to see chairs are filled and more chairs are being brought. I'm so glad that you decided to take the center of your week to dedicate it to God himself. Also good to see all the gospel preachers here on tonight. Joshua chapter number 2, verse number 1, the Bible says, "Then Joshua, son of Nun, secretly sent 2 spies to Shittim and said, 'Go look over the land, especially Jericho.' So they went and entered the house of a prostitute named Rahab, and they stayed there. The king of Jericho was told, 'Look, some of the Israelites have come here tonight to spy out the land.' So the king of Israel sent this message to Rahab and said, 'Bring out the men who have come to you and have entered your house because they've come out to spy out our land.' But the woman who had taken the 2 men had hidden them. And she told the king, 'Yes, the men came to me, but I did not know from where they were coming from. At dusk, when it was time to close the city gate, they left. I do not know which way they went. Go after them quickly. You might catch up with them.' But she had hidden them on the roof under stalks of flax she had laid out there. So the men set out in pursuit of the spies on the road that leads to the fords of the Jordan. And as soon as the pursuers had gone, the gate was shut. But the spies lay down for the night. And before they lay down, she went up on the roof and said to them, 'I know that the Lord has given you the land and that a great fear of you has fallen on us, so that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you. We've heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to Shion and Og, the 2 kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, whom you completely destroyed. When we heard of you, our hearts melted in fear, and everyone's courage failed because of you. For the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on earth below. Now then, please swear to me by the Lord that you will show kindness to my family, because I've shown kindness to you. Give me a sure sign that you will spare the lives of my father and my mother and my brother and my sister and all who belong to them, that you will save us from death.'" If you have some time, I want to speak from the thought, Rahab's rehab, the scarlet of a harlot. Rahab's rehab, the scarlet of a harlot. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Let us go to God in prayer. Dear, very kind and gracious Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for what was, what is, and what will be as long as we continue to stay faithful. Father God, be with everyone under the sound of my voice. Father, at this time, we pray that you show up. We pray that your spirit rest, rule, and abide even now. We pray, Father, that you'll open the hearts of the one who has yet to say yes to you. Father, let the preaching of the word be most effective, because it's not in the preaching of the preacher, but rather in the opening of the heart. Father God, bless me now as dirt, to speak to dirt, so we may all clean up our dirty ways. God, bless the word, bless your servant, and bless us all as your children. All these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Rahab's rehab, the scarlet of a harlot. If you would just lend me momentarily the reins of your sanctified imagination, I want to introduce and or present to you a scarlet thread theology, which as we walk through the text will soon to us become a blood-based theology. And when it comes to a theology that is blood-based, then everybody ought to have it. Understand that the movement of Joshua's writing occurs sequentially, because Israel could not yet go into promise without first crossing through bondage, then realizing that the way from bondage to victory requires blood to be shed in order to save those that were spared. Exodus chapter number 12. But very briefly, I want to take you to a place that I'm sure none of you have ever been. I want to take you to a whorehouse. Is that all right in Jamaica? I want to take you to a whorehouse. And I want to take you to a whorehouse for a wholesome purpose. Now, before you get spiritual indigestion for the usage of the word whore in the pulpit, understand that long before I said it, God first defined it. That time I go to Genesis 38 where Tamar played one. I will go to Leviticus 20 where it was defined in relation to false religion. I would go to Numbers 14 and talk about how even they wandered 40 years, they had to bear their own whoredom. But church, do not let semantics preclude you from the situation of salvation in the text. God chose to use the avenue of the world's oldest profession to bring forth his oldest desire. And that desire is to save, restore, and redeem man. And through this text, he will use a whore to tell the whole truth. And that truth is that all men can be saved through and by the blood of Jesus the Christ. And this text will prove that Rahab is merely exhibit A. For Rahab, her profession is secondary, and her name is tertiary to the saving power of God. But this saving power, though not exclusive to her person, is exclusive by way of location and qualification. Let me say that again. This saving power of God, though not exclusive to her person, is exclusive by way of location and qualification. Therefore, now with the groundwork of our study already being laid, I want to invite you to meet me on the road that constitutes the red light district and meet me at the brink of a brothel. Because there, the Bible says in verse number 1, then Joshua, son of Nun, secretly sent 2 spies to Shittim, saying, go look over the land, he said, especially to Jericho. And they went and entered the house of Rahab the prostitute. Oh, if I had time, I would talk about how now this is a secret mission and now how only 2 of them are going instead of 12 spies. I would say possibly he's sending 2 now so he could be covert in his operation. I would say maybe it's only 2 now because last time he sent spies out, it became disastrous at the report. Maybe he sent 2 spies this time so he could say, go look over it and come back and report directly to me. But now we see 2 spies, and they went and entered the house of Rahab the prostitute. Now, historians try to say, well, maybe Rahab kept an inn, a normalized hotel. Historians would also say it's not uncommon for an inn and a brothel to operate in the same building. I gotta say that for some folk, because sometimes folk in the church can't ever see right people doing the wrong thing. But for me, I see God's people going to the right place, even for the right cause. But sometimes, as evidence in this text, God sometimes brings right into the presence of wrong to then right wrongs and make wrong right. Somebody would say, why an inn? Why a brothel? Why a bar? What better place to get information than a house of a prostitute? What better place to spy and go undetected? What better place could you go and nobody ask you any questions? Some of y'all are too holy for any earthly good. Say amen when you can. Their speech was different. Their look was different. They couldn't just walk in the city square and get information that they needed. They had to go and find the benefit of a brothel. The Bible calls her a prostitute. The Bible calls her a harlot. Understand that we don't have to make her less of a sinner to make God more of a savior. The Bible calls it what it is. But before you get judgmental and indignant, notice that while the English tells us her profession, the Hebrew nearly says, Isha, she's merely a woman. She's merely a female. Perhaps this Hebraic ideology and interpretation shows us that God was not concerned as much about her work, but rather he was worried about salvation's work in her life. For when it comes to man professing and confessing Jesus as the Christ, then one's occupational profession is not in question. Because professing Christ also means professing change. And when it comes to God, I'm so glad and I'm so thankful that how I come doesn't matter as much as how I conclude. Let me say it again. I'm so glad that when it comes to God, how I come doesn't matter as much as how I conclude. I came a wretch, but I'll conclude as a worshiper. I came a liar, but I'll conclude as a living witness. I came lost, but I'll conclude found. I came tore up, but I'll conclude sewn up. I came bound, but I'll conclude blessed. Preach, flowers, I sure am trying. They came to this house of this prostitute named Rahab, looking down the halls of futuricity. After the scarlet thread of Joshua chapter number 2, Rahab then later comes into marriage into the royal family. Rahab is referred as being the wife of Salmon, then becoming the mother of Boaz, who eventually married Ruth. Though at one time Rahab was insolent, it was because of her obedience that she became a bride in the family of Jesus the Christ. Can I tell you something, Kingston? Notice that to man, her name didn't change. Her name was still Rahab. But even though her name didn't change, to God, she had changed. Because God doesn't need our name to change, but in Christ and because of Christ, our actions need to change. Oh, if I had some time in here, I would tell you one of the biggest holdbacks and setbacks in the Lord's church is guilt. People are always worried about who knows about their past, and you're so worried about what folk know about your past that you'll never have a future. I'm so glad that Rahab shows me that you can have a past and God still give you a future. I'm so glad that don't nobody else have to recognize your change but God himself. I'm sure that people were still talking about Rahab even after Rahab went to rehab, but God didn't have to change her name. God simply changed her actions. I need somebody to know tonight under this tent that as soon as you accept Jesus the Christ, you are then a new creature. And once you do that, you participate in a new birth. And more importantly than having a new name, you have a new nature. So if salvific blood rehabbed Rahab, then I don't want to hear anyone who says that they cannot be saved because of environmental factors. People say things like, well, I was raised in a poor household. I was raised in a bad neighborhood. I'm matriculated at bad schools. I was raised by a single parent. I'm just too bad to ever be good. I'm sexually promiscuous. I've sold my body for money. I'm a liar. I'm a thief. But I'm here to tell you that, church, you may be all of these things, but I need you to know that tonight you can be redeemed. Jesus dispelled all of these excuses a long time ago, because I'm not here to talk about the fairy tale Jesus tonight. I'm here to talk about the biblical Jesus, the Jesus who grew up in the ghetto, They questioned him and said, he's from Nazareth. What good can come out of Nazareth? The biblical Jesus is one whose mother was rumored to sleep around because they could not believe in the Immaculate Conception. I'm talking about the Jesus whose grandmother, many, many, many times removed, was a prostitute named Rahab. That's the biblical Jesus. So next time you think you have a hang up, just look toward Jesus who was hung up. And then understand that Jesus' humanistic story had to happen to give a chance to us of a heavenly reality. He had to be born of sinners and through sinners so that we as sinners could look to him and then find salvation. Therefore, he who came on behalf of sinners would then himself be born of sinners, could then declare that if man would be reborn in him by way of water and of spirit, that then they could kill that into which they were born, which was sin itself. What are you trying to say, Jeremy? Man must be born again. John chapter 3, verse number 5, when Jesus speaks to Nicodemus at night, unless a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot inherit the kingdom of God. You want another way to see that, church? We must be born again. If we are born only once, then we will die twice. But if we are born twice, then we'll die once. If we're born only once from our mother's womb, then we must die in terms of the body and die in terms of the soul. But in fact, if we're born twice, we'll only die once, because the soul of man never dies. Our first birth brought us into a reality of sin, but our second birth brings us into the revelation of salvation, which proves that in this life, it's not about your history, but rather about your holiness. God can use your history, change it into holiness, and then take your mess and incorporate it into his mission. Am I talking to somebody tonight under this tent? Am I talking to somebody who's been bogged down in their past and they can't live in their present and they can't imagine their future? God can still use you. I've said it many times at Jamaica, and I'll say it again. God can save anybody from anything at any time. It is not too late for you to be saved. I don't care what you did yesterday. I don't care what you did 3 hours ago. All I care about is what you do right now. And that's accept Jesus Christ as the Son of God. Now, that's just verse number one. Let me move quickly. Verse number two, the Bible says, the king of Jericho was told, look, some of the Israelites have come here tonight to spy out the land. Verse three, so the king of Jericho sent this message to Rahab, bring out the men who came to you, entered your house, because they've come to spy out the whole land. By now, Rahab knew very well the intentions of the spies, but her faith in God was greater than her fear. So already a prostitute, already a whore, she decides to add liar to her resume. Can I have time for a commercial break? God is so good that he can use a liar to tell the truth. And notice that while prostitution was immoral, obviously in Jericho it was not illegal, because the king is communicating with her as if she's an upstanding citizen, and never is a warrant issued for her arrest. But the woman, verse 4, took the two spies. She hid them. She said, yes, the men came to me. I don't know where they came from. Verse 5, at dusk, when it was time to close the city gate, they left. I do not know which way she went. Go after them quickly. You just might catch up with them. Not only did she lie, she cleverly added for them a diversion in the midst of her dishonesty. Verse number 6, we halfway done, say amen. But she had taken them up to the roof, hidden them under stalks of flax. she laid up there. Verse 7, so the men went out in pursuit of the spies on the road that leads to the fords of the Jordan. As soon as her pursuers had gone, the gate was shut. Verse 8, before the spies lay down for the night, she went up on the roof. Verse 9, and she said to them, let's listen here to Rahab's statement of faith. Now, can I tell you something very quickly? It takes much more than just a statement of faith today in order for man to be saved. People like to run to Acts chapter 2, verse number 21. And everybody who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Understand, Acts chapter 2, verse number 21 is an incomplete statement in the midst of an incomplete pericope. If you're going to follow Acts 2, 21, you must also look at Acts 2, 37, which begins the method of question and response. When they say, men and brethren, what shall we do in response to this? The entire plea of Acts chapter 2, verse number 21 was not completed until you get down to Acts 2:37. Men and brethren, what shall we do in order to be saved? Because in verse number 21 of Acts chapter 2, there was a beseeching, but there was never any blood to certify the deal. Oh, I wish I had a church under the tent tonight. Can I preach for a little while? There is no salvation without blood to certify the deal. Beware on tonight if you were saved any kind of way, but you never came in contact with blood. Beware if you were saved because of holy oil, or sinner's prayer, or mourner's bench, or merely a confession. Yes, you might have put your hand on the radio. Yes, you might have repeated after some preacher, pastor, or AKA reverend. But if there was no blood to certify the deal, then ladies and gentlemen, you were not saved. If I had some time in Kingston on tonight, I would tell you that blood has always been part of God's plan. I would tell you when Adam and Eve, when they sinned and transgressed, they had to then kill animals, which was flesh and blood, and then cover themselves with the skin of animals, meaning what? Even from the first sin, it took the covering of blood. I will talk about sacrifice in terms of Cain and Abel and that sacrifice of which God found acceptable. And even now, I will talk about a scarlet thread that Rahab must hang. And it's only because of that scarlet thread that her and her family will be saved in the midst of devastation. If y'all would let me preach in here, I will go to Isaiah chapter 1, verse number 18. Come now, let us settle the matter, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they're what? Red as crimson, they shall be like wool. Right now, we're dealing with New Testament salvation in typology as it exists in Old Testament actuality. Notice through typology, even before we talk about blood being part of the plan, God has already proven that salvation, in the midst of it, water is part of the plan. Blood is part of the plan, but water is part of the plan. How do you know that, Jeremy? I'm so glad you asked. Remember back in Genesis chapter number 6, when Noah said it's going to rain, though he never seen rain before. Remember, he was outside of the ark trying to talk about God and lead people to righteousness. But nobody believed him until the day it started to rain. But then the door to the ark was shut. Water came and deluged the land. Everything on the ark was saved. Everything off of the ark was damned. What was it trying to prove by way of typology? That water will separate the obedient in the ark from the disobedient in the world. You don't like that? Well, notice what happened when Moses came to the Red Sea and parted the Red Sea from side to side. Why? Because Israel had to leave Egypt. And what happened was Israel came across on dry ground, but Pharaoh and his army drowned. What is it trying to prove, Jeremy? That water separates slavery from victory. And then soon for them, and also soon for us, came that mighty Jordan River. What is the purpose of the Jordan River? that man must cross to the other side, because water separates punishment from promise. Meaning what? Water, if we go through it, it makes us obedient. Water, if we go through it, it gives us victory. Water, if we go through it, it then puts us in line with God's promise. But now God has revealed to us that water is part of the plan, but also so is blood. Man must be born again of what? Water and of spirit. When he goes down in the water, he comes in contact with the blood of Jesus Christ. Man cannot be saved absent of baptism, because baptism puts us in the position where we're born again, where we go down in water, come in contact with blood, rise up a new creature, and then receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This is not in my notes, but it feels good right here. Man must come in contact with the blood of Jesus Christ, because one day God will come back on a cloud, Christ himself, and he's looking for those who look like him. How will he know those who look like him? It won't be because of our facial features. It won't be because of our skin color. It won't be because of our dialect, but it's going to be because we were covered by the blood of Jesus the Christ. That's all that's going to matter on that last day. It's amazing. People talk about why they shouldn't have to be baptized, but show me what other activity puts you in line and in family and in body with Christ Jesus. Show me what other activity allows a man to be born again. Show me what other activity puts you in the blood of Christ. Show me what other activity allows you to receive the Holy Spirit of God. Oh, it's amazing. When we talk about birth, we understand birth from a humanistic standpoint. When a child comes out the birth canal of a woman, as a matter of fact, a woman knows when it's time to give birth because her water broke. I wish I had somebody in here. The child that was born from your womb was completely immersed in water. They weren't sprinkled with water. They weren't poured with water. They were immersed in water. And a child was not born from your womb until water broke. Water has to be sufficient enough for man to go down in it and come up out of it. Now, not only that, but baptism does give us the Holy Spirit of God. It's amazing in religion today when we talk about folk getting the Holy Spirit. Folks say, I caught the Spirit. Well, who threw it? Folks say the Holy Spirit fell on me, but who dropped it? God is not careless with his Spirit. If man is not baptized, he cannot have the Holy Spirit of God. I'm having way too much fun. So this woman in her confession says, I know that the Lord has given you this land, and we have a great fear of you, because everybody in this country is melting in fear because of you. What are you saying, Rahab? I know that the Lord will do this if I help you or not. But I want to be on the right side of wrath. So I want to help you so that when victory comes, I can in fact be on the winning side. Verse 10, we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt. What are you saying, Rahab? I'm saying I've heard of his deliverance, and I've heard of his victory, and I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you are his people. I know that he will fight your battles. And though I'm a prostitute, I'm smart enough to know that no one can stand in your way with God on your side. Therefore, I, unlike the others, will not be part of the problem. I'll be part of the solution. The Bible says, I know what you did to Shion and to Og, the two kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, whom you completely destroyed. Verse number 11, when we heard of it, our hearts melted in fear. Everybody's courage failed because of you. For the Lord your God is God on heaven above and on earth below. That's some good preaching right there. Kingston. What are you saying, Rahab? Rahab is saying, I acknowledge that your God is even more powerful than our king. That's why I lied to him. I lied to the king because my fear of God is more important than the fear of the king. Our king of Jericho is limited by jurisdiction, but your king, God Almighty, has power in heaven and on earth. Therefore, I'll dedicate my allegiance to him. My life and my occupation may not say it, but I believe that there is a God who is powerful and mighty, who protects and provides for his people. And when victory is declared, I want to be in that number. Though she was not one of the men in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost, her plea is similar to theirs. What must I do in order to be saved? What are you saying, Rahab? Rahab's saying, I'm not here to talk about my past. I'm not here to talk about my profession. I'm not here to talk about my black book. I'm not here to talk about how I came into a premium piece of property on the city wall, but rather I'm here to talk about my salvation. So verse number 12, Rahab says, let's cut straight to the chase. Now then, please swear to me by the Lord. Swear to me by Yahweh. Swear to me by Jehovah. Swear to me by the existing one. What are you saying? I'm coming to you because I know that he exists externally. But now prayerfully, through salvation, he'll exist in me eternally. I've seen what he's done for others. Therefore, I want to accept him so I can see what he'll do for me. He helped you win the battle of swords. Now I want to see if he can help me deal with the battle of sin. He helped you to find a new joy. Hopefully, he'll help me find a new job. Tired of giving service to men, I'm ready to give service to God. We just met a little while ago, but did you know I've been researching God for a long time? I'm here tonight under this tent to tell you that just because someone is in sin, just because someone exists outside of the body of Christ, that there are many people who are very intelligent, who are searching, who are seeking. They're looking for peace. They're looking for hope. They're looking for surety. They're looking for a sure sign. And if tonight you're looking, if tonight you are looking and searching and seeking for God, then you found him. She says, I don't want a human assurance at salvation. I want you to swear to me by the Lord. Because I know if it has his name on it, then it has some weight. Give me a sure sign. She says, I've shown kindness to you. Show kindness to my family. Give me a sure sign that will spare the lives of my father and mother and brother and sister and all who belong to them, that you will save us from death. I want something so sure. I want something so sound. I want a salvation that will stand the test of time. I want something. Little does she know that she needs someone that will save not only her, but save all her family, save her father, save her mother, save her children. I wish I had a church in Kingston, Jamaica. I need something that will save everybody at every time. Give me a sure sign. I need not just a sign of salvation, but a sure sign. Not a fleeting sign that can change based upon man's intellect. Not a sign that one person receives, but another person can't substantiate. Not a sign that will trend and pass with the time. I need a sure sign. I need a sign that can be hung high. And when it's lifted up, it has the propensity to lift everybody up. Just in case you don't know who we're talking about. We're talking about Jesus the Christ. Give me a sure sign that relates to salvation in my life. So the Bible goes on to say in verse number 17, as we land this plane, and the time shall be yours. After they promised in verse 14, saying, our lives for your lives. The men say to her in verse 17, this oath you made us swear in terms of something that will save your life, the life of your mother, your father, your brother, your sister, and all that belong to him. This promise will only be binding if, verse 18, When we enter the land, you have tied this scarlet thread in the window, the same window through which you let us down. And unless you have brought your father and your mother and your brothers and all your family into this house, we, on behalf of God, will promise you salvation. Because notice, when Israel comes to defeat Jericho, there's devastation. Everybody has to die. Livestock has to die. Fire is also prison. I need you to see that we're talking about the end of time. There will come a day where all kind of devastation is going to occur. There will come a time where there be nobody left but the saved. There will come a time when fire will be involved. But there's only those who are going to be saved, who submitted to a sure sign, who did what they had to do in order to be saved. Those will be the only people that will be saved on that day of devastation. On that last day, there are only two options. Either there's salvation or devastation. Now, if you want salvation, there has to be a sure sign, and you got to follow some directions. You got to follow some qualifications, and you got to be in a location. You got time for this? Amen. This promise of salvation is only coming to you if, when we enter the land, notice, there's a sure sign, and there's a sure house. But there's something special about that house that protects its inhabitants from death. It's something special about that house because there's a scarlet thread that binds all of man's hopes and fears and salvation. Unless you have tied, meaning what? It's significant. You must not only profess Jesus, but you got to display Jesus. This scarlet thread has to be tied. Notice, this is in the text. This thread, it's a singular thread. There's no other thread like it. I wish I had somebody in here. You can't go get a scarlet cord that looks close enough to this one, because only this one is going to do. You can't get a scarlet thread and put some polka dots on it. You can't change it to a rainbow pattern. You can't replace this one with two or three. There's only one, and it's got to be the same one that was given to you. There's no thread like this thread. And the only way that you are not going to face devastation instead of salvation is if we see this one thread displayed in your house. And if this thread is displayed in your house, it will bring salvation. I want a scarlet thread. Tikvah, for cord here in the Hebrew, speaks of something that brings hope and expectation. So this scarlet thread brings me hope and expectation. Having Jesus Christ in my life, having Jesus Christ in my house, displaying him as I live my life, gives me hope and expectation that in the day of devastation, when everybody else is dying, I'll be yet living. Because this scarlet thread is in the window. Window here speaks of the piercing of the wall. You will not be saved. I will not be saved unless you tie this cord, unless you tie this hope to the piercing. May I submit to you that your hope, your scarlet thread, must be hung high. It must be prominent. It must be where everybody can see it. But it must be attached to that piercing, that bleeding side of Jesus Christ. For a Christian that has a Christianity that's Christless is a calamity. My hope is built or nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Put it in the window. Well, can I put it in the window of my choice? No. Put it in the same window that you let us down from. And unless you brought your father and your mother and your brother and all the family into your house, if any of them go outside the house, into the street, their blood will be on their own heads. We won't be responsible. As for those who are in the house with you, their blood will be on our head. if a hand is laid on them. Can I tell you something? There's something special about submitting to the blood of Jesus Christ. There's something special about having the scarlet thread put prominently in your house and in your life. I'm so glad that God can use my history and still give me holiness. I'm so glad that God took Rahab's house and made it from a house of sin into a house of salvation. But can I tell you something? Salvation can be yours regardless of your past. But salvation does have qualifications and it does have a location. Oh yes, salvation has qualifications. You must take this hope and this expectation. His name is Jesus the Christ. You must take it as it's given to you. You must put your faith and your hope and your trust in that scarlet thread. I'm so glad that Rahab wasn't like some of us. We would have gotten the scarlet thread and said, I'll put it up when I want to put it up. Some of us would have tried to put it in another window. Some of us would have kept it on the floor. Some of us would have put it in the closet. But he says, look here, it might not make sense to you now, but just hang him up. And when you hang him up, I wish I had somebody in here. When you hang him up on that last day, on that day of destruction, you'll have salvation versus devastation. I know it may not make sense to you now, but you need this scarlet thread. You need the same one that we gave to you. Can't no other thread be like this scarlet thread. You only need one when you got Jesus in your life. That's the qualification. But yes, there is a location. Everybody who's going to be saved must be in the body of Christ. Now I know folk want to sit here and fuss, fight, and argue about which church is the church. Well, Jeremy, I'm Catholic. Well, Jeremy, I'm Presbyterian. Well, Jeremy, I'm Episcopalian. Well, Jeremy, I'm Jehovah's Witness. Well, Jeremy, I'm Church of God. Well, Jeremy, I'm Church of God in Christ. Can I tell you something? You got to be able to find whatever you believe to find it in the Word of God. Now, can I tell you something? We must stop just trying to say, as long as I can find the exact word, Church of Christ, and Romans 16:16, then that's all I got to find. No, we are the church that you can find in your Bibles, but not because of Romans 16:16 alone, but rather we're the church that you can find in your Bibles because our practices ought to be found in Scripture. Our precepts ought to be found in Scripture. The way we treat each other ought to be found in Scripture. The way the body is different from the world ought to be able to be found in Scripture. So whatever church you're trying to be a part of, you better make sure you can find it in Scripture. Nothing should take place in it that you can't find in the Word of God. You better be in the house. You better be in the house. Are you in the house? Child of God, are you in the house? Well, I got a past. Are you in the house? Well, I've done some things. Are you in the house? I got an unrighteous resume. Are you in the house? It says, look here, on that day, not only must the thread be in the window, but everybody who's going to benefit from the thread must be in the house where the thread is. Amen. Well, I got Jesus in my life. I believe in Jesus. I believe in God. Are you in the house of God? Amen. To believe in the thread means nothing if you're not in the house where the thread is, which takes out the idea of I can go to the church of my choice. They couldn't go to the house of their choice and be saved. You got to be in the same thread, in the same house where the thread is. Oh, I'm so glad Acts 2:39 is in here, that this promise is not just for you, but for your children and your children's children and for those who are afar off. There's a salvation. There's a sure sign. There's a Christ Jesus that will save you and your children and your children's children and all those who are afar off. But you got to be in the same house where he is. So he says, look here, they can't be in the street. Can't be on the corner. They can't even be on the porch. Close only counts in horseshoes and hand grenades. Don't be close to God. Be in God. Don't go to a type of church. Go to the Lord's church. Because to be close is still to be far. Because on that last day, either devastation or salvation. Fire will be involved. Everything, just like Jericho, will be destroyed. And Jericho was tightly shut up. That's why Joshua 6 talks about them walking around it and the walls coming down. See, you think that you're safe living in sin. You got your own life. You got your own degrees. You got your own money. You think can't nothing penetrate you. Honey, that last day will come sudden and sure. It'll knock down everything that you felt held you up. Salvation or devastation will appear. If you're in the house of God, where the scarlet thread hangs, and if God can save Rahab, he can save you. So at the end of time, if you're not saved, it's your own fault. Stop using past to stop you from operating in your present. If you're not a child of God, become one today. Accept Jesus Christ. Take the scarlet thread named Jesus. Put him in your house. And not just put him in your house, but stay in the house of God. Let's be standing and not singing. Let's be standing and not singing. I ain't finished, but I'm through. There's somebody here tonight who is a child of God, but you've sinned, you've strayed, you've not lived as a Christian. Will you come back to him before it's everlastingly too late? Yes, you were baptized, but you have not stayed faithful. You've not stayed in the house. Therefore, you'll miss the blessing of salvation. Come back to him, child of God. Repent. The sign that you accepted is still sure, sound, and standing. Will you come back to him, even now? If you're not a child of God, listen very closely. This is your time. I don't care if you're 14, 44, or 84. If you're not a child of God, salvation cannot be yours unless you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Come get a sure sign. His name is Jesus. He doesn't care where you've been. He doesn't care what you've done. But he does care what you do right now. Well, I want to become a Christian tonight. You've made a wise decision. What must I do? You must first hear the word of God. You've heard me. I'm loud enough. Here's the question. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Yes or no question? If you believe, you can say, yes, I believe. Then you need to repent of your sins. Confess that he is. Be baptized into Jesus Christ before it's everlastingly too late. You'll be baptized tonight. All you have to do is walk down here. Walk down these aisles. What's going to happen when I walk down there? I'm going to ask you one question. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Are y'all going to vote? No, we're not going to vote. None of us are worthy to cast a ballot. Am I going to be on probation? Probation for what? Time is running out. It's not time for probation. It's time for salvation. Be baptized in water for the remission of your sins. Live faithful unto death. Life is too short. Eternity is too long. And hell is too hot. Make the decision. Well, you're not here by happenstance. You're here by providence. Well, no, I'm here because I got one of the thousands of flyers that were passed out. No, you're here because God has chosen you to be here. Well, I'm here because my coworker invited me. No, you're here because God has chosen you to be here. So why would you leave and not do what God has chosen you to do tonight, which is be saved? Leave here in the house from which salvation will come from. Not a child of God, will you walk down these aisles? Are a child of God in sin, will you walk down these aisles? Make the decision right now to come to Jesus as we sing the song of invitation.
227. 227.